You pressed play on this podcast with the click of curiosity. It is another dimension, a dimension of mind, a dimension where nothing is sacred and everything is explainable. You're streaming into a land of both inside and outside, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the midside.
Welcome to the midside, where we piss wherever we damn well please, because we're men. I just want to mention a couple of listeners that I forgot to do a couple weeks ago. I made a promise on my Facebook page that if people could identify the picture associated with one of my blog posts, I would mention them. So I just want to give a hat tip here to Michael Shapiro and John Cereal for correctly identifying the critic character from Lady in the Water. Now, to start this episode, I'd like to read two quotes from two separate hit pieces on Batman vs. Superman and Zack Snyder that were released over the past week. The first one here is from IO9, which is Daniel's favorite website.
Boo!
Boo! Zack Snyder is much worse than Michael Bay. Michael Bay thinks explosions are awesome and stories are dumb. Zack Snyder actually hates you. This is a movie made out of disdain. Disdain for nerds, disdain for the audience, disdain for the kids whose parents might accidentally take them to see a movie starring their favorite superheroes, disdain for the source material. He thinks he knows better than all of us what Batman and Superman should be, even if fans, critics, and mass audiences tell him otherwise.
Now,
so antisocial.
Now, the second quote is from Birth, Movies, Death, the article that I wrote that had the picture of the critic character from Lady in the Water was actually about this writer. Quote, I believe that Zack Snyder is systematically destroying Superman, not because he doesn't understand the character, but because he profoundly dislikes the character. One of the larger themes of Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice is the idea that every act of heroism is a catalyst for something terrible in the world. A point of view that is not only A, insane, but B, inherently anti-Superman. These perspectives disturb me because they are literally the complete opposite of everything I believe in life. So, if they were true, I would have to be very, very wrong. Conversely, if I'm right, these people are very, very wrong. And since I am right, it terrifies me that people who actually believe these things actually exist, and have people who actually read their articles and agree with them. I'm left with no choice but to denounce and dismiss all of these people. And that state of affairs is a sad state of affairs indeed. Joining me this week via Skype from our nation's capital, Daniel T. Richards. Daniel, I imagine seeing lots of people who are very, very wrong and you can't imagine they actually exist happens to you on the daily over there in D.C.
All of them? All of the people? Yes.
Hack all the things?
Yes, all of the people. All I want to know about Zack Snyder is why he won't build buildings the way society thinks he should.
Oh, that sounds like a blog post I wrote, or an article I wrote.
Who is Zack Snyder to think that he can build buildings different from the great masters of ancient Greece? Who is Zack Snyder to think that he can build buildings without stupid-looking facades and decorative pineapples? That's what I want to know.
Is it
just who is Zack Snyder?
Oh!
Who is he?
Well, first of all, James, you are new to this program here. The actual first episode in our Snyder series was called Who is Zack Snyder? So, inducing something we already did. But also, is it any wonder, Daniel, that he wants to make the Fountainhead movie? Isn't he living it?
He is living it right now. Those were quotes from Ellsworth film critic Tui right there. That's pretty awesome. Especially the first one.
And we'll get into that. We'll delve into this a little bit more in the romanticism, the art section, because this discussion is manifesting in a lot of interesting ways to me. So we'll talk about some other articles that are sort of adjacent to these. Also joining us via Skype from the Hills of White Privilege, James Elias. James, did I say your name right this time?
You did say my name.
That's two
right
episodes
this time.
In a row. Two
yeah,
in a row.
There you go. But you still lose. You misspelled it in the outline.
Oh, nobody fucking reads the outline. I don't post that shit publicly.
Well, we don't read it either.
So. Yeah, I know.
So I guess, yeah, it doesn't matter either yeah. way. So yeah, so dude, I have a so Justin, I have a question, like I, on the first article you mentioned where, you know, they're basically asking like, oh, why should Zack, you know, shouldn't Zack Snyder, you know, conform to society standards of what Superman is supposed to be? Obviously I'm with you on that one. But on the second one where the guy seems to think that Zack Snyder is presenting a fundamentally anti-Superman message in Batman versus Superman. I definitely disagree with his perspective, but unlike you, I don't feel as though that perspective is profoundly bad. I just think he somehow must have misinterpreted the movie. Why is it that you think that this is such a big deal?
Well, there's two things here. I have softened my position a little bit since I actually wrote this outline through a discussion with Katrina, who the audience might remember came on the Sucker Punch edition. And the reason I did that is she made a pretty succinct point to me, and that's, as we pointed out in Man of Steel, Snyder is inverting the Jesus myth. And this continues in Batman vs. Superman, where he's making Superman not altruistic, but actually fighting for his values. When he turns to Lois Lane and he says, this is my world, you're my world, and that's why he goes and fights Doomsday. It's not a self-sacrifice at all. So in a way, he is sort of destroying Superman. But what he's really doing is he's creating his version of Superman, right? So he's not really destroying. And the reason that it's fundamentally insane to me, the point of view, is that they would see someone creative as destructive. Because I've never seen any Zack Snyder do anything destructive. He may, you know, present different points of views. He may present different ideas. But his entire goal in life is to create. So when you see people who start seeing creation, productivity as destruction, that's scary to me. That's terrifying to me.
Yeah, I mean, I see a lot of your perspective, but, I mean, imagine if someone wrote a version of Atlas Shrugged where John Galt was somewhat altruistic. Like, wouldn't you say that that would be a destructive act?
Well, in fact, this is just simply, that, he's there just actually simply is seeing something Superman. Out there like that. Where somebody wrote like a sequel to Atlas Shrugged where they took the ideas of it and they said this is what would happen later. And Bioshock is very similar to that as well, right? They have Andrew Ryan in that whole underground or underwater city or whatever. And here's the thing. I don't think that's profoundly evil. I think it's profoundly wrong, but they at least created an entire successful video game series. The other person, the book they wrote may be shitty, but at least they fucking wrote a book.
I have a different argument here than what Justin makes. My argument is, I don't think Zack Snyder is destroying anything essential about Superman.
I totally agree.
That was my first point.
He's changing things that are optional about Superman and exploring different themes using this same character. So.
Right.
Yeah. Right, but if you are all about an altruistic Superman, if you really see Superman as an altruistic hero and that's what you want to see, you're gonna see this as, you're gonna see Batman versus Superman as a kind of destruction.
Right, and that was
they're of course wrong because they're altruistic, but they're not wrong in saying that this is a type of destruction, at least from their point of view.
They are wrong in saying it's a type of destruction because the intent is not to destroy, and intent matters here. He's not destroying Superman,
Hello?
As Daniel pointed out.
Hi.
Well, I don't know how we're going to do to the news now. We just lost Daniel.
Did he drop the call?
Yeah, he dropped the call. So, audience, what we're going to do here is we're going to take a little bit of a break, and then you won't hear us take this break because we will just come back with the news with Daniel T. Richards.
Just a fad. 'Cause kid, there's consequences to what we say and what we do. While you're dancing like an idiot, they're looking up to you.
Alright, so Daniel, I think we found you after much searching here. I think that was like a hour long break or something. I don't know where the fuck you
Daniel.
Went. But... Ready for the news?
I suppose.
He had a fucking vacation, an hour-long vacation. You better be ready.
Well, I was busy. I got shit to do. You think I do that? I do this for free every week. This is my side gig.
Hey, we get paid through Patreon.
Who gets paid? Yes, we get paid through Patreon, which does, I don't want to minimize that. That helps so much because then we're not negative money. Yeah. That actually makes a huge difference.
It pays for hosting.
Yes. Oh,
and the lights.
Yeah, and the light bulb that explodes.
Keep the lights on. Keep them exploding.
Yeah. Get them filled with the energy. Speaking of filled with energy, the ACLU is suing North Carolina over its controversial transgender bathroom law. Did you get all that? It's a huge compound nominal. Journalism really loves those.
That's what she said. That's a huge compound nominal.
What?
What a fucking nerdy bitch. The ACLU and advocacy groups filed a federal lawsuit today in response to a controversial North Carolina law that opponents say discriminates against lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender communities by doing this. It basically bans people from using bathrooms that don't match the sex indicated on their birth certificate. It also prevents North Carolina cities and counties from establishing ordinances that extend protections covering sexual orientation and gender identity to restaurants, hotels, and stores. This was pushed, of course, by the Republican leaders in the North Carolina General Assembly and signed into law by Governor Pat McCrory.
Are we cheering a new law? Is that what we're cheering, James?
No! Oh, this law's just on its face, it's completely impractical just because you got people with dicks going around into the women's bathroom. We can't do that.
I'm curious how they enforce this, right, James? Like, do they actually put, like, a TSA-style guy outside, like, excuse me, sir, could you please form a queue?
That's
sir,
what I was going to say. They use that fucking 3-second scanner.
Before you come into the women's bathroom.
Yeah, they do the 3-second scanner where they scare my junk for 3 seconds every time I get on a plane.
Please step into the rapiscan. Rapiscan, sorry. It's rapiscan. Even though it's spelled rapiscan.
Am I the only one who, when they stand in that, they push their hips a little bit forward?
I'm doing that every time from now on. Whenever they have to give me the pat down, I kind of go like, oh yeah, like really try to act like I'm enjoying myself. Thank you, sir. May I have another?
But I have a question about this story, Daniel.
Okay.
This wasn't already a law that you had to use the bathroom that fit with your genitalia. Like, I just assumed this was a law my whole life.
No, apparently not. You could have been using the women's restroom this entire time in North Carolina.
It's just a common decency standard.
Wait, so you mean this has been working in this country this whole time without a law? We developed a culture and a convention?
How did we know which bathroom to go in without the government telling us which bathroom? I don't understand. Here's the number one thing about this article. So there are two parts to this law, right? So there's the first part, which is like, if you have a dick, you have to go to the urinals. And if you have a vagina, you have to go to the non-urinals bathrooms. Dumb. We don't need a law to do that, and we don't need a law that says the opposite way either. We don't need a law that says you can use whatever bathroom your gender identity specifies. What we need is no law and allow businesses to decide for themselves who the fuck they want using their bathrooms.
Right.
So if you want to be a business that says, this is a restroom for men, this one's for women, fine. I mean, as long as you're not groping them there to check, who gives a fuck?
What about these restaurants or these businesses that only have one room with one toilet in it for a bathroom? Does this law make it so they have to build another one?
I don't know how this law would affect unisex bathrooms.
What
That's
about,
an interesting
wait,
question.
Isn't this separate but equal?
It is, little separate but equal. Danglers over here, non-danglers over here. Yeah.
That's just your dangler privilege talking.
Privilege. James is slowly becoming an Asian this episode. Earlier this week, he was like, complex raws.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Why am I no doctor yet?
Kim Jong-il over here.
So ronery. Yeah. But the other half of this law, let's talk about the other half of this law for a moment, because the first half is clearly farcical, ridiculous, and is not going to hold up to scrutiny in the courts. But the second half of the law, the one that says that that towns cannot establish ordinances that extend protections covering sexual orientation and gender identity to restaurants, hotels, and stores. Controversial, but what do you really think of that?
I actually don't really understand what that entails.
Yeah, I was gonna, okay, good. I'm glad you said that, because I felt dumb. Great. I was like, what does it mean?
Yeah, I only read the story and didn't understand what that meant.
This is because I work around lawyers all day. Okay, so basically, you can't discriminate against people based on their sexual orientation. Oh no, I'm sorry. You can't sexual orientation according to their gender or their race or their disabilities at restaurants or and employment and stores. So if someone walks in and they're black, you can't say I ain't serving no black person no cake, and then kick them out. That would be illegal. So some towns have extended that protection to gender identity and sexual orientation, which are not covered usually. And this law says you cannot extend those protections to sexual orientation and gender identity.
I feel like we already lost this battle. Like, why are you drawing the line here?
Yeah.
Like, why are you Captain Picarding this right now? The line does not need to be drawn here.
This far, no further. Smash my spaceships.
Oh my god.
Good reference.
Why are we Captain Picarding this? No one's gonna understand what the fuck that meant.
You guys got it. That's what matters.
I thought we were shaving our heads and getting faux British accents. I didn't, yeah.
No, look, I agree in principle, right? Because whatever happened to the fucking sign that said, we reserve the right to refuse service to anyone, right? Like, I want to live in the world where that fucking sign is up there, and they can be like, we don't like your fucking shoes, get out!
Well, that's the thing. You can still do that. You can say, I don't like your shoes, get out. What you can't say is, hey, fag, I don't like your shoes, get out.
Well, what if you say, hey, person, transgender person, I don't like your skirt.
No. Well, yes, now in North Carolina, absolutely, you can't do that. Some places have extended that, because gender identity and sexual orientation aren't counted in those things already. Only if you are a female or some race that's not white or disabled.
This is
ridiculous. So that's my point. Look, we discriminate all the time in this country for numerous reasons. We judge all the time in this country for numerous reasons, and we should be allowed to. Businesses shouldn't have to serve anyone for any reason. That is very harsh. I understand it's not popular, but if a business doesn't serve someone for an irrational reason, don't go to that business. Boycott that business. Go to a different business. You should be able to not serve whoever you don't want to serve.
Right.
Because think about the inverse of this, which is, if I'm walking around looking at multiple bakeries to bake a cake for my upcoming wedding, and there's a bakery with a giant fucking cross on it that's like, we love Jesus, please praise be to Jesus, I don't have to spend my money there. I am discriminating against them on the basis of their religion as a consumer. Why is that okay? But if I were to walk in and say, I want you to bake a fucking atheist cake, they would have to.
Well, this is the thing I always complain about. What you're referring to, Daniel, is we dehumanize business owners. And we say, oh, the corporations did it, or oh, the business did it. As if somehow you fucking own a business, you're no longer a human being, you just become that business.
Exactly. You don't lose your ability to associate with people because you're a business. You shouldn't be forced to provide a service just because you're providing a service to some people. That's ridiculous. And if I can discriminate using my consumer dollars, I should be able to discriminate using my productive ability.
And let's be serious. If you're going to go to a bakery, you're going to go to the gakery because they're going to make the best cakes.
Well, right. I'm going to discriminate in the opposite direction, right? If there's a sign in the window where it's like, we're proudly heterosexual in the bakery, I'm going to be like, oh, fuck you. I'm going to the gay shop because those people know how to bake.
The gakery.
Yeah. Is that a thing? Is that a thing in LA?
It is now.
Thank you. Be bringing the little gay here because Elliot's not on this week.
There's a store here that says the Layer Cake Bakery. That's what it says over the store. And every time I see it, I want to go in there and I go, would you please change your name to the Layer Cakery? Please? Please? Please?
So this is what really, this is a very muddled issue to try and, you know, sort your way through to figure out, like, wait, is this side and that side? And I don't know what fucking side I'm on. It's
that's what
it's
he
too
said.
Much, it's too, yeah, right. It just, because I go to the Gakery.
He
so,
tried to get in there and he was like, is this still a veg? Is this a dick? Like, what is going on right now?
It's just one of those, it's one of those non-cis situations.
Yeah, it's just so muddled. He didn't know how to get through it to what he wanted to do.
But it shows that to me, the one thing I take away from this is that the right has no principled way of going against the subjectivity of the left. The left, the only reason the left is on board with these transgender people is because they seek to destroy any kind of standard of true and false. Like, I mean, I'm completely on board with a lot of the policies that they wanted to enact for the sake of gay people, but the motivation for, you know, helping the gays and now, you know, giving special treatment to the mental disorder called transgenderism, the motivation was just the whole time has been to destroy any kind of moral standards. It just so happens I agree with destroying the moral standards that they were trying to destroy when they were advocating for gay people. But their goal is not to destroy Christian moral standards, is to destroy all standards of right, wrong, true, or false.
You're more cynical than I am. I think it's an excuse to grab power, and if they were trying to destroy, they could at least say, let's just get rid of all fucking laws. But instead,
yeah, but they have to introduce it bit by bit, and they have to do it with some kind of moral, like, cover, and that is what they do, it's what they have done.
To focus on James, the first part of James' point, which I think is very important, is that the right doesn't have a principled answer to this. So
they
see
they
something is wrong,
yeah.
and they don't like it, and so they're like, all right, more government power!
Right.
Like, well, no, that's...
Donald Trump, 2002.
Yeah, exactly.
That's like the story of anyone who is in favor of Trump, also.
Yeah, it's true.
It's like, you can do it, we can fucking do it better and bigger, because our dicks are bigger.
That's right. We're going to build a wall between the men's room and the women's room. It's going to be 10 feet high.
And we're going to make the women pay for it somehow.
Yes. Specifically, this one woman on Tinder who really paid for it this week, at least according to Elite Daily, who claims this woman had the scariest Tinder exchange of all time. Yes. And I love the way this article starts, by the way. With a millennial's hectic schedule. A millennial's hectic schedule? Doing what? Fuck nothing?
Yeah.
Being on the internet all the time?
Yeah, being on the internet and living in their parents' basement? Like
the millennial's hectic schedule of being the least trained and least skilled group of workers in American history?
Commenting on IGN schedule? For a week about how bad Batman versus Superman is, according to them? The millennial schedule?
Hectic schedule of YouTube commenting and internet porn?
Yeah.
What exact hectic schedule are we talking about?
Getting mad that YouPorn or whatever, or Pornhub, turned into Cornhub for April Fool's Day?
Yes, the millennial's hectic schedule of getting triggered by a piece of chalk in a classroom. Yes. What the fuck, millennials? You have no hectic schedule. It can be incredibly hard to meet new people, especially a romantic interest. That's the way this article starts. This is why online dating and dating apps resonate with so many young daters. It makes finding potential partners as easy as posting a pic on Instagram or writing a tweet. Two skills this generation has mastered, meaning the only skills this generation has mastered.
And that is a loose use of the word skills as well. Oh, look, I can click a few buttons on an app and the picture goes.
Here's my favorite line of the article. In theory, using social media to find a potential partner is great. One, no, it's not. Not even in theory, in any way is it great.
It's not good in theory, and it's even worse in practice.
But in practice, it's often extremely flawed. So here's the actual story. Imgur, this is a millennial thing that I don't understand. It's a place where people post pictures.
Wait, it's not
it's
the website.
Imgur.
Yeah, it's not the website George Bush made for uploading pictures.
Gotta upload my imgurs to the interwebs. Yeah, I always thought it was imager. And then a millennial corrected me the other day and said it's imgur.
Oh, I thought it was imager as well.
Duh, it's imgur.
I thought it was imgur for so long and then someone corrected me and said it was imager. It's actually imgur.
This is why millennials have a very hectic schedule. They're just correcting everyone.
It's actually Imgur, because that's how mad this makes me.
Yes. Imgur user Miss Messy Clean recently posted a series of screenshots showing texts she's exchanged with a guy she met on Tinder. At first, he seemed normal. They talked on the phone and even planned a date. But soon, she began to feel uncomfortable. He made a joke that didn't sit well with her, and following her instincts, she decided to cancel. That's when things got scary. Yes, scary.
Before we show how it got quote-unquote scary, I just want to stop this story for a second. Can we point out what the quote-unquote joke he made was?
Wasn't a joke.
No, it wasn't a joke. That was his cover. But what can you, he said this, and then she immediately canceled the date. So can we just point out what he said?
Yes. So this is what started the horror story that is the scariest Tinder exchange of all time. Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. Here's what he said. Are you on birth control? I know it's a personal question, but kind of important to know.
And then she replied.
We'll role play. Go ahead.
Oh, I don't have it. I don't have it up here.
Okay,
I'm canceling on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Lol.
Okay.
I'm kidding, dude. Relax.
We don't need to go any further forward, okay? We can go forward in a second. But I just want to.
I'm uncomfortable with these jokes.
Okay. Well, you should be. All right. You fucking cisgendered straight male. All right. Here's the problem I have with this story. Right. Here's the problem I have with this interaction. Now, I'm not defending this guy. He might have said this out of nowhere. We don't know because it's decontextualized. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you don't see what comes before it.
Right. So maybe this was not the best thing to say or the most opportune time to say it. But is it that offensive that you cancel the date immediately?
It can be a red flag, that kind of question.
It can be. That's my point. It can be. But if you've talked to him on the phone and you've gotten to know him a little bit, like, to cancel so suddenly and declare him as crazy, that makes you just as crazy as he is. And that's my problem with the story.
I don't know, man. If you look at the stuff he ends up saying, he probably had a little bit of crazy here and there in their initial conversations, and then maybe something with this line about birth control allowed her emotions to kind of put it together at the end, so she's just like, yeah, I don't feel comfortable anymore.
Look, I'm not defending him. I'm attacking
her.
Well,
I'm defending her. Like, this seems like this seems like it could be a solid choice.
I don't agree. I think she's crazy too, and I think that's the problem we have in this society. Is women can just do this whenever they want and then go online and declare the guy an asshole, and we just assume the guy's an asshole. How do you know that she wasn't saying crazy shit over and over again, and he was trying to excuse her, and he finally got fed up, so he just started saying ridiculous shit to her to see what would work?
So what we really learned here is that this guy is Justin. That's what I really learned here.
No, Justin's not true.
So James, one thing is she does say in here that you were fine until that joke. She
right.
says that. So apparently there was no indicator previously that he was crazy.
Yeah, or at least maybe there was no like explicit indicators, but maybe, you know, little things here and there. We judge people with our emotions for good or for bad. I don't know, when you only know someone online and you're sorting through a bunch of different men who might want to have a date with you, I don't think this is unreasonable.
You can say sex, it's okay, they want to have
that
sex.
That wasn't what
you.
I was going, yes, Justin, I understand I can say sex, thank you. but no, I meant like, the thing, I don't know. I've gone on quite a number of OkCupid dates. None of them really turned out good. But I see a lot of I've met a lot of non-crazy girls who would show me conversations really similar to this one. And I don't find this behavior crazy on her part. She saw a red flag and she just said, hey, there's probably like 20 other guys who look just as good as this guy. I have limited amounts of time. I'm too busy masturbating and, you know, updating my Twitter feed. You know, I'm going
to. So she's so busy that she can keep replying to this guy throughout the day and then post the pictures on Imgur or Imgur or whatever.
Yeah, actually, let's see.
I'm
not saying she's
either.
Perfect. Maybe she just didn't, you know, people are overly polite. Maybe she didn't. She just felt like she couldn't just tell him to fuck off.
My main
you're
problem with this story
you're
is not her responses. I think she has some legitimate amount of claims. My main criticism of this article is that we don't know what comes before this.
And, yeah, but there's no evidence that he's being taken out of context here.
I want to know what comes before the are you on birth control question. I think that's incredibly important in judging whether or not it was a joke. The guy later on goes off the rails, but I've seen and I've known guys go off the rails before because they're tired. Here's the thing about online dating.
That's just where I was going to build towards, Daniel.
Which is, a guy can do everything right, be perfectly pleasant, and I completely understand before the feminists get here that there is absolutely 100% no obligation to go out on a date with a guy or to sleep with a guy.
Correct.
But a guy does all these things really nicely, really well, and then the woman just gone. No reply ever again under any circumstance after hours of conversation,
yep.
maybe days of conversation.
Yep.
And I've seen guys just lose it because they've had this happen to them over and over and over and over again. And sometimes you just want to be like, fuck it, what's up with you? Why the hell are you being a bitch right now?
Right.
All I said
and just
was nothing.
Say crazy shit to see what happens. It's like
right.
One day you're just like having a great conversation and then you're like, I don't like LeBron James. Okay, I'm canceling the date. Are you fucking kidding me right now? That is your essential right now?
So,
although if
I'm
you
not...
don't like LeBron James, I mean, come on.
Yeah, you're pretty much a bitch.
It's like it's like not liking Tom Brady.
You take that back.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't want to get into that right now.
Yeah.
But
cross the line.
I don't have the tools to defend that position.
Yeah.
I have,
so don't take that position.
I'm not defending either of these people in this situation. What I'm saying is this kind of reporting on this kind of thing is incredibly dishonest.
Right, and it's damaging to the already negative position men are in online dating, where there's this assumed malevolence and this assumed predatory behavior. It's like we're all out there just to, like, defile women and treat them like shit.
Because I've had worse things happen to me on dates. Because let's keep this in context here. The scariest Tinder exchange of all time. Did he threaten to kill her? Did he say, I know where you live and I'm going to come over and attack you? Did he leave her poison in her dog?
I mean, they're just exaggerating, like, for comedic effect. This is kind
like,
of funny. What
he I've
said.
Had a woman, like, go on a date with me and then for 3 hours just fucking berate me for liking Ayn Rand. Like, that's all she was yell at me for liking
yeah,
Ayn
Rand. Yeah,
but
then she invites you up afterwards.
She kissed me and then wanted to go on another date with me. And I was like, go to hell, you dumb bitch.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I didn't say that, but, like,
they just
go to the
internet to engage
like,
her and then put the video up on YouTube, right?
That,
God.
In modern culture, yes, that's what I would have done. I'd be like, look at this psycho bitch. Except that I would have been called out as a misogynist who
right.
is mansplaining to her that she is being not oppressed by my cisgender.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. Make the headline like the most ridiculous or look at this absurd thing that happened to this one woman. But when we sensationalize it like this, we continue to perpetuate this myth that all, like I said, all guys are engaging in this predatory, malevolent behavior, that we're just looking to entrap a woman in our apartment so we can force her to have sex with us.
Well, I mean, like, only like 60% of us, but...
Speaking of trapping
women in your apartment... Sorry, James, did you have something before I finish that transition?
I think I understand that this article was probably written with a lot of the intent that you guys are reading into it, you know, the hatred of males intent, but just this article per se, I don't see anything wrong with it. It is a pretty scary exchange, and they're exaggerating when they say it's the scariest. Like, it is just kind of funny, and like, I think his, yeah. Anyway, you know what? Let's just cut that. Let's move on.
Well, we're not going to cut that.
I know.
We're
going to
leave that in.
That's the joke. I always like to say, like, we're going to cut that. And when I know it's going to end up in the show.
It's going to stay in the show. And then when Katrina hears this episode, she's going to message you. And you're not going to be able to get rid of her as she talks to you about this issue. So.
Katrina, feel free to message me.
Door open.
Did I just invite death to my doorstep?
No.
At least a giant flaming bag of dog poop, if not death.
Well, don't worry, I'm going to invite that on the next story.
Yeah, speaking of trapping women in your apartment, the U.S. women's soccer team believes that they are being metaphorically trapped in the apartment of America.
So even though this, if you knew something about soccer,
America
you could
is
use
raping them.
You could use a trap metaphor because in soccer you trap the ball when you receive it. So
yeah, except that I don't watch boring shit. So
you watched it with my family.
Yeah, I was bored to tears. So the
you mean me arguing with my family and my brother about how he's wrong wasn't entertaining?
Mostly you speaking and them going, "Huh? Is someone here? What? What is that voice? Is this the fucking Ghostbusters?" Yeah. Except not that excited. So the U.S. women's soccer team are alleging that there is a huge pay discrimination between them and their male counterparts, despite the fact that the women have superior achievements. Yes, five of the biggest stars in the world champion U.S. women's national soccer team have accused the U.S. Soccer Federation of pay discrimination. The federal complaint, which was unveiled Thursday, alleges that the players earn a fraction of their male counterparts, sometimes as little as 38%.
Which fraction is it? Is it like the ankle? Is it the knee? Is it the dick? Which fraction of the male counterpart do they earn?
Yes, hilarious. Mostly
what?
The shins. Mostly the shins and the calves. The players bringing the complaint, which they say come on behalf of the whole team, are all veterans who played key roles in turning the U.S. into the most recognizable women's team in soccer. Captain Carly Lloyd, goalkeeper Hope Solo, midfielder Megan Rapinoe, and defender Becky Sauerbrunn.
You mean Megan Rapinoe?
Whatever. And striker Alex Morgan. Is Hope Solo going to be turn out to be Kylo Ren's sister?
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Okay, awesome. I wasn't thinking that, but that needs to happen as a meme. Somebody make that happen, internet. I'm surprised. I'm surprised that hasn't happened already.
It's because no one knows who the fuck Hope Solo is.
Well, right. That's the other thing. Hope Solo should not be asking for any money because she should be in jail for domestic abuse. And she's not in jail because she's a woman.
Oh, gauntlet thrown. Okay, so I don't know anything about soccer or anything that has to do with this. So, Justin, why is this correct or incorrect?
It's incorrect because there's a paragraph in this story that shows that it's incorrect.
Which paragraph is that?
I'm
this story
it.
Is about 32 paragraphs too long.
Right, that's why I'm going to read one paragraph here.
It's a 16-paragraph story.
You fucking millennial. You got too much. You're too busy posting shit on Imgur.
Imgur.
You're posting your memes of Hope Solo and Kylo Ren on Imgur.
Dark side and chill.
So this is wrong because there's no guarantee in the world that more achievement equals more profit. We can see this by people with good albums, people with good movies don't make a lot of money, and people with shit movies make a lot of money. It
Adam
happens.
Sandler.
Yes. Adam Sandler gets like a 20-picture deal at Netflix. And people who are better than Adam Sandler don't have shit. So there's no link between achievement and money. But there is a link between the marketplace and money, right? If the market will pay for it, then that's where you get more money from. Can we agree with that?
Yes.
I think there tends to be a correlation between achievement and profits, but it's not perfectly one-to-one. Yeah.
Correct. Theoretically, we would love to live in a world where you do better, you make more money. So yes, the women's team is immensely successful. They're more enjoyable to watch than the men's team because they actually win and they don't embarrass us. But this paragraph that I'm about to read proves that the men deserve to be paid more. U.S. Soccer estimates that the women's national team will generate $17.6 million in event-based revenue between April 2016 and March 2017 based on a slate of up to 27 matches. According to the budget, it proposed that February's annual general meeting, those include a post-Olympic tour and an end-of-season tournament. Over the same period, it expects the men's team to bring in $9 million for up to 12 matches. So somebody do the math. $9 million over 12 matches is more money per match than $17.6 million over 27 matches, correct?
One would assume by the basic properties of multiplication and division that that is true, yes.
So therefore, the men deserve to be paid more because their matches make more money. I rest my case.
Oh!
Yeah, I mean, on some level, the men must be doing something right. At the very least, maybe they're, I mean... Who's to say that they're even achieving more than the women do? The women may have a higher standing in comparison to other women, But the men, I guarantee you, face sterner competition from around the world. You know, I don't, you know, countries in Africa, I kind of doubt they produce that many, as many women's teams as they produce men teams.
Well, that's because their women are all crying and
exactly.
on the ground because their clits have been cut out.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, okay.
I don't,
not where I thought you were going. But
I don't even want to think about that. But
your
but,
soccer ability. Yes.
Yeah, you do need a clitoris to play soccer.
Yeah, ask David Beckham.
Yeah, but I mean, who's to say that the women have even achieved more? I mean, we should laud them for their achievement, but it's just, it makes no sense to try to compare the two. It's going to be really hard to say which one is achieving more.
Also, and, why are you filing this complaint with the federal government?
It's a power move because their collective bargaining agreement expires at the end of the year.
If you think you're making less money, why don't you just collectively not play until they pay you more money?
Yeah, it's just a power move. That's all it is.
Yeah, but they're trying to extort. They right. know they, I mean, that it's damning the fact that they're going to the government because they know they can't actually earn this money via, you know, convincing their employers that they're worth more than they're getting paid. They have to do it through government force.
Yeah.
I would pay every soccer player exclusively on the number of bicycle kicks they perform.
Well, hold that thought when we talk about the Pele trailer.
Yeah, that's right. Something that wasn't that boring about soccer. Yeah. Okay. Moving on to things that that I hate more than soccer. Reddit hints that the U.S. may now be spying on its customers. That's how CNN Money reports this. Not its users or readers, its customers. It seems that the federal government...
Do people pay to use Reddit?
This was not a millennial writing this one.
I think people actually do pay to use Reddit. Isn't there like a Reddit gold thing? I don't know.
Wait, there's Jew gold on Reddit?
Yes, that's what I said. That's
the main reason I'm inferring that this article wasn't written by a millennial, though, is that the article, you know, stands completely completed and published on a website, and the man who did it was probably paid.
Yeah, well, CNN doesn't have any millennials in their employ, do they?
Not that I know of.
Isn't
Although
CNN
Jose...
just Wolf Blitzer and Anderson Cooper?
Just scissoring the entire time?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. So the author is Jose Paglieri, who is at CNN Money's cybersecurity reporter, and he covers the dark side of tech. He wrote a book on
Kylo
Bitcoin.
Ren again. Jesus.
So,
dark side and tech and chill?
It seems that the federal government
Wait, has
made a demand.
Dark side and tech and chill? Is he played Tekken and then do dark side and chill?
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Justin, Tekken joke?
I apologize for everything I've said over the last 30 seconds. Let's continue with the story.
It seems that the federal government has made a demand in a controversial secret court to spy on Reddit users. Normally, the discussion website Reddit would never be allowed to even acknowledge that it received such a request, but thanks to a legal hack, the company has tipped off its customers. So, federal agencies use a tool for mass surveillance called a national security letter that it gets approved by a federal judge sitting on the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, FISA, which is basically...
No.
The,
yeah, it gets sent directly to Daniel's fiancé, and she makes a decision on it.
She's like, yep, fucking hack these people. These people need to be spied on. Bomb those idiots. Yes.
All right. I'm moving to D.C., and we're doing a web series about this, starring her.
The FISA court?
Yeah.
Funny.
She just makes decisions on things and then swears about whatever her opinion is.
So here's the thing about this, is that usually you cannot tell people you have received this notice, but many tech companies who are sort of anti-NSA, and rightly so, have found a really strange hack, which is you can tell people that you haven't received one. So basically, they put up a website before they receive one of these that says, to this date, we have not received a national security letter. And then once they take that website down, it's an indicator that they have received one. And that's exactly what happened.
But doesn't that only work once? Like, what if they keep sending you national security letters?
Well, I guess, but how many are you going to receive in your lifetime? I don't...
Well, I think the idea is like, you can't necessarily tell the public, like, okay, we received another one that mined for additional information. All they can say is, we at one point have received one of these letters. That's all they can say. It's very limited in that sense.
Yeah. So basically, the question is whether or not the federal government is spying on all Reddit users, or if they got this to look at specific users, to find out more information about them, or
this is like the whole Patriot Act thing, right? And like Adam Carolla was just talking about this on his recent episode, where was it JJ Green came on, Daniel, the terrorism expert or whatever? Did you hear that one?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, well, Adam uses the argument I do, and I know this is a non-objectivist argument, and people are going to get mad at me for breaking my principles and everything. But if you really want to go on Reddit government and see me looking at the deals on Funko Pops and then sending Daniel the links to cheap Star Wars Funko Pops, have at it, federal government. I have nothing to hide. If that makes Reddit safer for me, so be it.
You're a heretic and you should be burned to death after you're thrown off a bridge, after we hack you to bits and pee on your ashes. Just say.
But you want those deals, right? You want me to keep sending them?
I do. You just keep sending those deals.
Okay.
Please don't stop. That was fun. Well, how about this, Justin? Since I don't agree with you, I think this is a monstrous thing that the federal government is doing that should cease immediately. Why don't we have an opt-in program where Justin says, yes, please spy on me to the federal government?
That's fine.
Like a website. You just go like nsa.gov/spy on my ass.
Right. As long as when they think someone's a terrorist, that person has quote-unquote opted in, if anyone asks. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I'm cool with that.
Or it works the same way as this legal hack, which is eventually you sort through all the people. It's like, oh, these 14 guys named Muhammad haven't opted into our website. Let's investigate the shit out of these people through real warrants and real actual investigative powers that aren't made-up nonsense.
Okay, if that works, I'm fine with that.
Or we could actually fight our enemies without pulling our punches overseas, and then we just wouldn't have to worry about spying on our own people.
How do I get government officials to look at my dick pics? That's the question I'm trying to answer.
Yeah, we do need to figure out a way to do that. I'm in on that.
I'm not sure we have surveillance technology that drills down that small, but we're working on it.
Oh!
I'm hitting Zoom! There's still nothing!
That's why I like Asians. That's why I like Asians. They don't know any better.
Oh, so big.
So, yeah. I really liked this as a badass legal strategy, but I want to know, what are websites that are known to have canaries that haven't died yet? You know, like, what I'm saying? They call these canaries, by the way. Oh yeah, we didn't say this little website they're talking about is called a canary. You know, so the idea is when they take it down, it means, oh, we got a letter. What other websites do we know of that have dead canaries?
Legends of Tomorrow has the white canary. She died at one point.
That's hilarious, Justin. Sometimes your humor is so obscure that you may literally be the only human being laughing at your joke.
That's okay. As an artist, we create for ourselves.
Between 400 and 500 people listening to this every week, and during that moment, only one human being was laughing. And it was you.
Hey, artists, we create for ourselves, okay?
Uh-huh,
yeah,
that's why you're fucking
poor. Fuck communication, huh? Speaking of
what's a podcast?
Doing things for ourselves and fucking communication...
Is that, you want me to use that as a transition?
You know what? Never mind. We'll cut that.
All right. I think on that note, do we have anything else to say on this Reddit story, Daniel?
No, of course not.
All right. Let's talk about people who are mad that nobody is doing anything for them in The Hopeful Romantic with JML. We ended up in an interesting place there in the news section because there's been a lot of talk recently, as we saw in the IO9 article, or the IO9 quote I said about, you know, why aren't you doing things for the audience? Well, the same thing happened again here with The Walking Dead season finale, and I want to talk about that very briefly. You know, there are obvious the problems we have with the show, you know, the naturalism which results in the poor pacing because there's not really any sort of thematic thrust to the story, so they don't focus on the character choices. It's just sort of things happen after things happen, and they try to stretch things out to big moments. Well, the big moment they were stretching out to for the season finale was the most evil villain of evil villains, Negan, shows up, and he beats one of the characters to death with a baseball bat wrapped in barbed wire. But in this finale, they had Negan show up, and Negan, by the way, was played by Jeffrey Dean Morgan, also known as the comedian and Thomas Wayne in Batman vs. Superman. And one of the characters on The Walking Dead is played by Lauren Cohen, who played Martha Wayne. So if anyone noticed on the Facebook page, I put up another one of those jokes that nobody else gets.
Yeah, I did not understand that.
I put the picture of him standing in front of her, and I said, "Save Martha." So that's making fun of the fact that that's Thomas and Martha Wayne standing in front of each other playing different characters, and he might kill her with the baseball bat. So that's another one of those jokes. But he had this big long scene where Jeffrey Dean Morgan was awesome, and he used his comedian charisma to give this long speech about how I'm going to kill one of you. And then he picked the one he was going to kill, except when he picked the one, it showed it from point of view. So that means it was from the camera. You were looking at Jeffrey Dean Morgan, and then he hit the camera basically with the baseball bat, and the baseball and the camera went to black, and then he hit the camera a couple times, and you know, blood poured over the camera, and then it cut to break. Now everyone's mad about this because that's the season finale, so nobody's going to find out who died, this thing they've been building towards all season, until next October. Now the thing I want to say about this is people are calling this a cheap gimmick to elongate the series. Well, really, what's going on is you guys are discovering there's no depth to the series at all. If you're watching it, watch it for the reasons I do. For the production value. For the character work. The world they create. But if you're looking for a deeper story, then we're just going to make up reasons to kill people and make up reasons for people to get mad at each other. There's nothing else that's going to be on here. I did not watch this episode to find out who was going to be killed. I watched this episode to see the performance of Jeffrey Dean Morgan as Negan. And you know what? It was well acted. And it was a good performance. And the production of it and the directing of it was good in the sense that I was entertained and I appreciate the craft that went into it. But was it artistically good in telling a story? No. So people need to separate what's going on here and stop feeling duped. There's not an antagonistic relationship between creators and audience when the audience doesn't get what they want from the creator. They act like they're oppressed by the creator. It's just absurd.
I think this show has had little depth for a long time. I stopped watching after the governor took a tank to a prison. I forget exactly what happened. It was stupid. But the show, didn't the creator explicitly say, like, I just want this show to go on forever?
Yes, the creator of the comics, Robert Kirkman, basically wants the show to go on for like 20 fucking years. So it's just going to keep being stuff like this. And it's not because he hates you. It's just because he literally said he wants the show to be like, what happens? He said, I want to show what happens to people when a zombie movie ends. How do people survive? He just wants naturalism. That's what he wants, and that's what he's getting, and then you guys are surprised about it, and you're angry about it. Because you want to know right away.
Yeah. I don't get it. It was so good early on. It had such... You watched it for the characters, and you hoped that the characters would have some development. Then once I realized there was going to be no development, that there's just going to be perpetual misery and suffering and nastiness, I checked out. I was done. Forget it. I understand why you watch it, Justin, but I can't in good conscience recommend that anyone else watch it because there's no end to the nonsense of this show.
Right, and then people get mad about it. That's what I'm annoyed at. It's like, well, the internet gets angry at everything. It's like everything is antagonistic and tearing them down. It's just like, stop being a victim. God damn it, you're not a victim. It's a show that was created to entertain you or not. Were you entertained? Okay, watch it. If you weren't entertained...
Are you not entertained? Yeah,
exactly. And if you weren't, it's not some malevolent plot to manipulate you into watching. Are you that fucking weak that you need to fucking find out? You're going to tune in because you need to watch it?
Yeah, exactly.
All of this being said, Battlestar Galactica is definitely a drawn-out evil plot to manipulate me into being miserable.
You mean the reboot?
Absolutely the reboot. Yeah, it's just...
Daniel hasn't watched that yet, have you?
Never going to. Don't care.
Oh, okay. Well, oh, God. I mean, the reboot was fine until they revealed who the final Cylon was, and then it just goes off the reservation at the rest of season 5. When they reveal who, or was it whatever the last season was? Once they revealed who the final Cylon was, that was it.
Yeah, I don't care. You know what show I'm rewatching? Just fucking awesome is House. I'm rewatching House. I forgot how good it was.
Oh, I took that story out. Did you see they're making a Russian version of House?
No.
Yeah.
Is it starring Vladimir Putin?
No, I don't know who it's starring, but I tweeted a couple jokes where I said, in Russian House, you diagnose House. And then I said in Russian House.
We'll work on that. That's like a 6. I think we can turn that into like a good 8.
In Russian House, it's always lupus.
He said better. Uh-huh. Yes. Yes. It's interesting. I would watch it. So it's a good show. And in fact, I'm on the last season now. I haven't rewatched all of it, by the way. That would be insane. But I'm on the last season now. The last season is surprisingly good. I don't know why people panned it. It's a very good season. It has some great episodes. If you haven't watched House in a long time, go back and watch House. I think it's excellent.
See, here's the funny thing. You know, we're sort of talking about this with The Walking Dead. People pan it when it goes either way, and this can transition. We'll leave this for our Batman versus Superman rediscussion here in a second. When it gets too naturalistic, people get angry. But also, if there's too much of a story and too much of a theme and too much focus on the characters in that theme, people get mad about the too narrow of a scope. So they want this weird mixed premise balance. And House in its later seasons became much more thematic and much more focused on, now we're going to show House making the decisions about this theme.
Yes, indeed. It's very good. Also has some amazing jokes, by the way. The joke about the feminist cannot be told enough, which is this really famous feminist comes in for treatment, and House says, oh, I used to date her. Like, you used to date this incredibly famous feminist? And he says, well, not so much date as metaphorically raped because I have a penis.
Yeah. That was ahead of its time. That was ahead of its
fucking
time.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. So let's do some trailer takedowns real quickly. We got 3 trailers here. And with these, what we basically say is this worth seeing or not based on the trailer? So the first trailer we have is the second trailer for Alice Through the Looking Glass.
No.
I was a yes until the part where there's some kind of clockwork little model of a dude hacking another dude's head off, and then that creepy woman said, ha ha ha, and I'm like, oh yeah, Tim Burton made this. Fuck it, this shit.
It's actually another director trying to impersonate Tim Burton, so.
I thought it was, okay, but still, like, Tim Burton is not someone who should be impersonated. Tim Burton's aesthetic literally grates on me, on my eyes so badly that, like, do you remember that movie Frankenweenie? Just watching the preview made me want to claw my eyes out just because it's so aesthetically revolting.
Oh. Saving that for our next trailer, but
so Daniel, nothing for Moriarty running the asylum.
Not one minute second of interest in this film.
Did you pick up that Moriarty was running the asylum?
I didn't pick up on anything because it's so mind-numbingly terrible.
Okay, I think it's funny as a Sherlock fan that Moriarty is running the asylum.
Hilarious. Now, let's get over it and never watch this movie or patronize it or give them any money to make another sequel.
Good cast, though. So next movie here is the official trailer for the fictionalized Pele biopic.
Wait, didn't we skip one?
No, Nerdland is last.
Oh, it was first on the outline.
Not in my outline.
Oh.
My outline is privileged over yours, you fucking half Hispanic.
I may have done that by accident when I was... Okay, anyway, sorry.
So first is Pele.
Okay. Yes. You were expecting me to say something? So this movie did something that I thought was impossible, which is it made soccer look interesting. I would actually watch this movie because I like this sort of inspirational type of overcoming the odds. Why is Vincent D'Onofrio Brazilian?
I don't know. That was like the thing that turned me off the most about this trailer. I was like, hey, this is pretty good. Like, they're romanticizing it. Like, they're stylizing it. Like, this is cool. Why is he doing a bad Brazilian accent? What is going on?
It was like, it was like almost Sicilian Italian in how bad it was. It was like, we're going to play soccer today and maybe we show them great game and not win.
That was more Russian, by the way.
Well, Russian, Sicilian. It's like Godfather swallowed a Brazil nut and couldn't get it out of his throat. Like, what the fuck are you doing, Vincent? And isn't this cultural appropriation?
Vincent D'Onofrio is the same guy who played an alien who loves sugar water. He can do whatever he wants, okay? Sugar water.
I guess. I would watch this, though. Maybe not in the theaters, but like at home on Netflix, where it doesn't cost me any more than what I'm already paying in my subscription every month.
You have Netflix, too?
Yes.
We may
and
have
Amazon
talk.
Prime.
I have Amazon Prime, but I've been trying to find Netflix. We have to talk. James, so would you see Pele? Usually,
I actually will. I am not a sports movie guy, but this has me interested. Like it what this does, even the preview on its own makes me see, it concretizes for me the value of sports, how, you know, sports provide us this controlled environment so we can see the drama of achievement play out in a way we can all understand.
Hey, that's awesome. Can we just, that's going to be a drop from whenever we talk about football.
Yeah, like that's the way I thought of it. Like, oh, this is why, you know, intelligent people like sports.
Thank you.
Like, yeah, it's just like this is the reason to like, or even, you know, even unintelligent people have a good reason to like sports, is because it provides them with this inspiration. And so, yeah, this concretized it for me.
There we go. I think that's the best argument for that. And now we will let Daniel talk about this next trailer, Nerdland, which is an animated movie. And I included this just so Daniel could talk about it, because I was interested in what he would think about it.
Jesus, horrible Christ. This is looks so shitty. So here's the thing. I'm not a huge fan of Tim Burton, James, but in small doses, like, I understand the appeal of his style.
Sweeney Todd's a good movie.
Yeah, like, I get it. This kind of animation style, which is we want to purposely make everyone look hideous and disgusting and sort of overly stylize the horrible things about ourselves, I don't get this at fucking all. Why would you watch more than 6 seconds of this animated nonsense? In animation, you have the ability to romanticize things in such an incredible way. And this is what social justice, I think, hath wrought in its ridiculousness about proportions and over-masculizing men and over-feminizing women. You get this type of animation where, like, you can see the snot coming out of their noses and various things and the cracks in their teeth and the fucking grease in their hair. And, like, this is such shit. I even like both Paul Rudd and Patton Oswalt, who star in this trailer movie, whatever, about two losers who are trying to make it in Hollywood. I like them as actors. They're funny. I will never watch more. It took me 25 minutes to watch this 2-minute trailer because I had to keep stopping because I hated it so much. But I wanted to know what it was.
I did.
It's so bad. And it's almost offensive, basically.
And to back up what you're saying
animation.
From a story perspective, fucking two people trying to make it in Hollywood is not a goddamn story. That's a premise, okay? That's a premise. And naturalism has led us to premises becoming stories. Oh, well, what if we just made a story about a nerdy guy and a not-so-nerdy guy trying to make it as a writer and a producer in Hollywood? Okay? What if we did that? That's not a story.
Now, what's the story?
Right.
Yeah.
What's the conflict? What's at stake here? You know, The Fountainhead is not about a guy trying to make it as an architect. That's the premise. That's not the story. There's much more going on in the conflict.
It's a lot of shots of him at a drawing board.
That's why no one knows how to direct it.
Yeah. there's nothing appealing about this trailer, about this movie, about this style, about any of it. I hope it fails miserably, and I hope the people who made it feel bad about themselves.
Okay, so the next three stories.
Speaking of feeling bad about yourself.
Right, that leads into the next three stories and the culmination. So what I want to do is, there are two stories here that build to the third. So the first one is, sent to us, Daniel sent this, no self-respecting adult should buy comics or watch superhero movies. I'm going to read a quote from that, and then I'm going to read the opposite, which is, Batman versus Superman is too smart for Marvel's fans. So this is sort of the response to no self-respecting adult should buy comics or watch superhero movies. Then once we sort of tease this out a little bit, I want to go to our final article here. I think it leads into it well. So the quote from the first one that I want to look at here is, quote, I know that the stock response to that no self-respecting adult should buy comics or watch comic movies is that there's no reason you can't use superheroes to examine dark adult themes. No, there isn't. But just because you can doesn't mean you should. Let's use a food analogy. It's like making a hamburger out of Wagyu or Wagyu beef mixed with full gras and then serving it with a toasted brioche bun topping it with artisan cheese, oak-cured bacon, and hand-brined pickles. Sure, the end result will be good, but it will be kind of stupid good. The ultimate expression of something quite dumb. I don't know how to say this next word.
Cassoulet.
Cassoulet. Could this guy use more pretentious language in this fucking paragraph? Made with far cheaper ingredients, would be a better, more sophisticated, and more satisfying dish by almost any yardstick. End quote. Now, very briefly before I go to the next quote, this seems to smack of intrinsicism to me. Like, the cassoulet is intrinsically better than the cheeseburger just because it's called that and the cheeseburger is called a cheeseburger. As someone who loves cheeseburgers, fuck you. So the next quote, is Batman and Superman too smart for Marvel fans? He ends with the following two paragraphs, and they're short paragraphs, don't worry, millennials. I wouldn't call Batman vs. Superman the most coherent film of the year, but it's pretty much the opposite of mindless entertainment. And some of the critical complaints sound a lot like, thinking makes my head hurt. Or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's not it at all. Maybe a wisecracking raccoon and Deadpool's masturbation jokes are just a lot more interesting. Now, what's interesting to me here is they both sort of intersect with this sort of elitism.
There is a strange elitism that links them. Yeah. Yes. But.
So what do you think? Is Batman versus Superman too smart? Or are we don't have any self-respect as adults?
False dichotomy? I know that's your favorite expression in the entire world.
On some level, I don't literally think Marvel fans are stupid, but if you compare Batman versus Superman, you know, a movie that has a, you know, like a plot that is coherent, if you compare that to, you know, Thor screaming in a cave, I kind of get it.
And if you look at Man of Steel and Zod, and you look at Batman vs. Superman and Lex Luthor, both of those villains are better than any villain from the Marvel film universe.
Yeah, specifically the villains are terrible in Marvel. There's a little bit of... there's no truth to the first article, but the guy is just being a pretentious dick. Like, of course any genre of movie can be good. And it's one of the things where he's confusing personal preference with universal truth. If you don't like superhero movies, that's fine. And you don't have to watch them. You can even be funny, you know, prodding your friends that you don't like them. This is sort of what Adam Carolla does in his show, by the way, Justin, because he doesn't get superhero movies at all.
I know. So I choose to ignore when he does it.
He makes fun, but that's perfectly fine. Yeah. But he doesn't say no one should ever watch superhero movies ever.
Although I take umbrage with their review of Batman vs. Superman.
Well, Bald Brian sort of annihilated it and said it was horrible, but he was wrong, very much so, and we could demonstrate why he's wrong. The second article, though, the too smart thing, I don't know. Maybe there's some truth to it. I think Zack Snyder movies are in general a little smarter than most movies, which is why people, I think, don't like them because it makes them feel bad about themselves. But at the same time, this particular movie could have been constructed in a way that didn't make people feel that way, I think.
Here's the thing for me. I think the part that stands out is the thinking makes my head hurt. So when I look at this first article, this is someone who simply does not want to think about comic book movies because he's already dismissed them. Oh, well, those can't be good, so I'm not going to think about it. Likewise, I think that's the way a lot of people approach maybe comic book movies in general or Batman versus Superman in specific because of Zack Snyder. Oh, well, he's just a visualist. I'm not going to think about it. And then you end up with the critiques that you have that we had in the opening there, that he hates you and has disdain because he's not putting the depth in, he's destroying these characters. They're not trying to think about his movies and understand them. I mean, yes, we've discussed that there are issues with the pacing and with the construction of the plot that we hope is resolved with the ultimate cut on the Blu-ray. But that doesn't excuse you from not being able to think about it.
That's true. No, I agree with that. Absolutely. I mean, the guy in the first article is dismissing an entire genre of film for basically ridiculous premises, for ridiculous reasons. So that shows a level of elitism that is just unfathomable to me in its dumbness.
James, you have any thoughts on this?
I find all of these perspectives kind of like wrong in varying degrees. So again, it's like it's hard for me to pick them all apart. I'm glad that the movie's being recognized. Batman versus Superman is being recognized by some people in the same way I do. And it's like, yeah, it has these flaws, but overall, I mean, I actually could put the plot of Batman versus Superman together. Like, everything does actually check out once you think about it a little bit after the movie. But
right,
there's something
like
to be
said
for, like, you know, just clarity. And because, you know,
if I have a hard time figuring it out.
Right.
Exactly. And I had that same thought the first time I watched it, but it holds up better on the second viewing when you actually have more of an idea of what's going on. So.
Right, but I thought that still counts as a flaw against the movie, but it's, you know, a lot of people had this same kind of criticism of Inception. And, you know, the people criticizing the movie Inception, I feel like I would have reacted the same way this guy said, like, oh, well, you just want to go to a mass. Does thinking make your head hurt, you poor little boy? Like, Inception was, I found very hard to, or very easy to follow, actually. It was just very fast paced and you had to be paying attention the entire time. But everything is explained very clearly.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking more and more about the pacing of BVS, which is, becomes so formulaic in filmmaking where there's this sort of intense opening scene that grabs your attention, then there's a resting period that sort of sets up the premise, and then there's another chase scene, and then there's another resting scene which sets up the major conflict, and then there's a major chase. And basically every 7 minutes you have to have incredible action, otherwise people lose their minds.
That's an actual statistic. I don't know if it's 7 minutes, but yeah, that's what they believe about action movies. It's something like that. Our buddy who works at USC who's been involved with the film industry had someone come and speak to them who actually cited that they really believe that.
I know, absolutely. And Batman vs Superman is not set up like that at all. One, it opens with a goddamn funeral. Like, you have to be really into it to have that kind of opening. Now then there is sort of a quasi action sequence that follows that, but there's even a playing with the audience in the sense that those two scenes could have been perfectly reversed and it would have been much more like a traditional action movie. So I don't think audiences quite knew how to watch this movie. And I want to take some amount of blame off of the mass audiences to some degree, because they've been trained by Hollywood to not know how to watch movies. They've been trained by Hollywood that we're going to spoon feed you so that your brain doesn't really have to work when you watch these flashing lights in front of your eyes.
Right, I agree. That's what I said, that the first two acts are a drama and you go in expecting like Batman and Superman to punch each other for 3 hours.
Yeah, exactly. So, and the critics are just evil twoies, so I'm not worried about it.
So in the same sense, let's go to the last story here, which is supposed news on the DC Comic extended universe, their cinematic universe. And in this story from Birth, Movies, Death, and these are the, this is the guy who did the second, quote I did in the intro. He says that, Warner Brothers has requested reshoots for Suicide Squad to lighten the tone because every joke in the movie is in the trailer. And it says, I have since spoken to more sources and I understand that the reshoots are happening right now, as recently as this week, and that they're big, tens of millions of dollars big, and they're adding more humor and lightness into the film. And this article is saying this bodes well for the DC movie universe because they're moving away from Snyder filmmaking. Now, the reason I'm putting this up is, and I'm talking about this article and having this be the culmination here, is lots of other news sites picked this up and started running this story, but there's no confirmation of it. If you go to IMDb, three of the actors are filming movies right now. Jared Leto, who plays the Joker, posted a picture over the weekend of himself on Facebook with a full beard and long hair. So if they're reshooting, who are these actors that they're reshooting with? And why are we believing this guy?
No sources. This typical internet article. There is something, there was something sneaky about this, which may just be cynicism on my part, which is maybe the studio itself is just basically putting out this rumor to basically give the visual placebo to the masses for when they go see this movie and go, yeah, see, the reshoots made this a lot better because there's more humor and lightness in this, when they do fucking nothing to it whatsoever.
But if the studio's doing that, that's a massive miscalculation because it doesn't fix the problem. Because this is not their tentpole. Their tentpole is Justice League. And these people are still going to go back at Zack Snyder no matter what next time in Justice League because Zack Snyder's directing it.
So the I definitely have a tentpole at the thought of Justice League.
So the point is, these people are never going to be satisfied till Zack Snyder is destroyed. And this is just a step towards destroying him. Saying if they can move this movie away from Zack Snyder's style, it will be better. That's just a step towards destroying Zack Snyder.
I didn't say the studios are smart. Okay. Don't ever assume that I think that anyone in professional marketing is smart.
Fair enough.
All right. Because I'm a marketer, so I therefore must hate all of the marketers. It's sort of like women.
Yeah. So let's move on then to where other people aren't that smart. It's time for Reddit on Reddit. Sony stupid, Xbox lame, PC gaming all the way, EA blows, Steam rocks, got Risk for my Firefox. These things are all on Reddit, mostly pics of felines, comma boring felines. These things are all on Reddit, no we didn't post it, but we will repost it. First Reddit. If tomorrow Trump revealed that his entire campaign was a joke, and he only wanted to show how millions of people would back someone like himself, what would happen?
I don't even want to think about this. This scenario scares me somehow, it scares me, but then I realize that the possibility of Trump actually becoming president is far scarier. I just choose not to think about it that
You don't
much.
Think this would make him become president if he did this?
If Trump announced he was a joke candidate, he would immediately win the election.
Right, that's what I think.
He'd go up 59 points in the polls.
Yeah.
He would immediately become the joke candidate that everyone wants to see elected, and he would be an unstoppable juggernaut.
Right.
The entire time going, no, switch sides I don't from want to Sanders. Be president. I don't, this is a joke. And they'd be like, Trump.
Right.
Yeah.
The millennials would switch sides. So millennials, the one thing millennials want more than free stuff is to make fun of everything. So they would switch from Bernie to Trump.
The hipster candidate, Trump. Yeah. I mean, in all seriousness, if this, like, think of this legitimately really happened. One, this would be the biggest national conversation for months, literally months. No one would talk about anything else. This would be our generation's next 9/11 is what this would be. No one would talk about anything else.
They would make movies about it. Like every director would then emulate this visually in their films.
Yes, there'd be signs, Trump died, Trump lied, people died.
It'd become an internet meme where they would just say Trump did 9/11.
Yes. There'd be a lot of Steve Harvey internet memes being like, and Trump is running for president. Just kidding.
Yeah.
Because I'm Steve Harvey and I can't read cue cards. But we would move on in the sense that Trump's delegates would go away. Basically, Ted Cruz would be the presumed nominee. You would still have some Trump hangers-on who are trying to get him to run for real. But then we'd have a giant conversation about how racist we are as a country. And we'd never stop beating ourselves, flagellating ourselves with the cat of nine of racism.
Where did racism come from in that story?
Well, because the reason everyone is supporting Trump is that he hated Mexicans. So clearly we're the most racist country on the planet.
Yeah. You know what this reminded me of?
Hmm?
The episode of News Radio where Jimmy James says he's going to run for president. And then he held a press conference and says he's not running for president. It was all just so he could find a wife.
Yeah. I remember that episode.
Oh, that's like the best episode of the entire series.
I didn't make it that far, I guess.
Well, that's the greatest sitcom of all time. Of all time.
It's not, but I get what you're going for. It's very good. It's funny.
All right. Next Reddit. If an actor, this is a shower thought. If an actor I admire turns out to be completely detestable, IRL, and that means in real life, not Ireland. I've made that mistake before.
If you're not a millennial.
If you're not a millennial. That does not mean he's only a dick when he's in Ireland, Colin Farrell. I should actually be even more impressed with his acting skills. Agree or disagree?
Well, I mean, we found out that, you know, Bill Cosby, who acted like America's dad, was actually America's serial rapist. I don't think that made him more likable.
Isn't that the same thing as a dad in America nowadays, according to
feminists?
Metaphorically, yeah. Since you're a male with a penis.
Yeah.
It's true. No, not the same thing. I mean, it's a cute shower thought, like Reddit having this section where people can just express whatever comes to their water-sogged little minds, but no, he'd still be a dick, and we'd have to hate him for it.
What about
or
Ben
her,
Affleck, though?
Or her.
Ben Affleck is Batman now, though, and he was awesome, and he was in a Zack Snyder film.
He's a dick in real life?
Kinda, he's kinda a liberal Massachusetts dude.
Okay, they're all liberals. Like, hey. That doesn't even count anymore as being a dick. Like, that's just... that comes with the territory.
Fair enough.
Is there any example of someone we liked more for finding out he was a douche? I don't think there are.
I actually met Will Arnett in real life.
And oh, yeah.
contrary to all the characters he's ever played, he was not a douche at all. So maybe it cuts both ways?
Didn't you make a reference to him, though, that he didn't get?
Yeah, yeah. What I did, basically, me and Will Arnett were in a jury pool together, and I looked at him, and he comes into the room late, and I look, I'm like, man, that guy's like a really, like, shabby version of Will Arnett. And then I'm like,
by the way,
oh,
that's
no,
every
dude,
actor...
that is Will Arnett, and he just doesn't wake up, like, at this hour ever.
Right, that's what every actor looks like when they're not on camera after having hair and makeup done, by the way. They look like a shabby version
right,
of themselves.
This is not a rip on Will Arnett.
Right.
And I looked at him, and then he saw that I was looking at him, and then he's just like, he had this face like oh shit, he's gonna like fall. Like, and so I didn't, I waited until, and so we both actually got dismissed for the same reason, because I assume we're both self-employed. And so, you know, I'm sure he went in front of the judge and he was like, yeah, yeah, Your Holiness, I can't be here. I mean, I'm an actor.
Judge Reinhold, I absolutely cannot be here. Yeah.
That's the reference I would have made.
Yeah. But when,
or when
he
walked in, I would have clapped my hands and went, ka-ka, 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 ka-ka.
No, but, when we were on our way out of the courthouse, when everyone else kind of got with outside of earshot, I asked him, when you showed up to the courthouse this morning, did you say to yourself, I've made a huge mistake? And I don't think he got it, but he said, yeah, basically.
You know why he looked disheveled, though? It's because he's filming a show about a guy who lives in Venice Beach.
Well, that explains it.
Makes sense. He was kind of dressed like a guy who lived in Venice Beach. Yeah. So
we should just for a witness the farce factor, review the first episode of that on Netflix. It's called Chip or something. I don't know what it's
called. Is it already out?
Yeah, it's out, but I think they're filming another season.
Oh. We also need to review the first episode of The Ranch starring Ashton Kutcher.
This show, it's called Slacker or Slipper. Or it's got some retarded name because it's a stupid naturalistic nonsense piece of crap show that thinks it's funny and is absolutely not.
Is there an algorithm on Netflix that calculates that? Like, oh, people want naturalism starring Will Arnett.
I think not, but it's terrible. But it is fun to watch, to laugh at the hippies who live in Venice Beach. That's what I found amusing about it.
Are you sure? Because when I go to Venice Beach, I just get depressed and I feel dirty.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that, but yeah.
Okay. Last Reddit. PPA, which is the Philadelphia Parking or Police Association, has a sense of humor. This is a mildly interesting. This is the mildly interesting of the week for Daniel.
You know, you don't have to do this every week. I found it mildly interesting that Reddit had a mildly interesting category.
Well, it's going every week now because you asked for it, Daniel. So
this is our duty to you, Daniel. I hope you appreciate our sacrifice.
Audience, if you have a complaint,
I just can't
put it. Put it in the comment section, 5 stars, and say, I love this show except for the fucking mildly interesting. Fuck you, Daniel. Put that in the comments, please.
Blame it on him.
Blame it on Daniel. So this one is, on April Fool's Day, apparently they put a parking ticket on this guy's windshield, and then when he opened it, it said he owed zero happy April Fool's Day.
Okay, one, you're wasting taxpayer dollars doing this, so the fools on the taxpayers were paying your fucking salary.
That goes without saying.
Pieces of shit.
I don't know why they don't just make tax day and April Fool's Day the same day.
Two, you're giving someone a heart attack, and you're basically ruining their day until they look at that actual ticket. You've caused an emotional trauma, which could lead to therapy bills, you fucking dicks.
So it's actually a net negative, because it doesn't get better when you see it. You're just like, what the fuck? Why did they upset me like that?
You return back to zero or right. Slightly negative because you're angry that they did that to you.
Right.
And then three, you gotta get the fucking razor out to get the glue off your goddamn windshield. That shit doesn't come off. Because that was the window sticker. It wasn't the one they put in the fucking windshield wipers. It's the one they stick on
the
window. No, you gotta get the razor out.
When I was an undergrad, I got a parking ticket once, the one they put in an envelope. So after I paid it, what I did was, I kept the envelope and I kept the ticket. And whenever I parked somewhere illegally, I put the envelope and the ticket under my windshield wiper. So whenever they drove by, they thought I already had a ticket.
8 in the morning, first round cop. You're like, I was already here? Man.
It worked.
That's
I had
good.
A friend who paid a parking ticket entirely in pennies by walking. He walked into the actual parking office and handed them a bucket full of pennies, like several pounds of pennies for an $85 parking ticket, you know, 8,500 pennies in total. And they're like, yeah, we're not taking this. He's like, okay, so you're refusing payment. Like, and so if they refuse payment of legal tender, he doesn't have to pay it was the idea. And they're like, no, you need to roll these pennies. So we went home, got out what I can only assume to be yards upon yards of duct tape and rolled the pennies into $5 rolls. So each of the penny rolls was like a yard long because each of them was $5. And he paid them, they wanted it rolled, so he paid them like that.
Did they take it?
I'm not sure, that's where this, that's
did
where
they
I
take all
following.
5 yards?
Was it
a painful
so.
Experience when they took all 5 yards?
I hope they take all the yards in the world.
Did feel to them as it was the longest yard.
Oh!
The only story I know about that is not something I know personally, but there was a story I read about, I think on Reddit in fact, of a guy who got a photo, ticket, you know, you were speeding, whatever, here's a picture of your car, the fine is $150. So he sent them back a photo of $150.
That's funny.
Yeah.
All right. Let's wrap this episode up. What did we learn this week, Daniel?
I learned that sometimes Justin is the odd man out when he's making a joke. And literally, out of all of our listeners, you're the one fucking laughing sometimes. Sorry. That's how horrible his humor is.
Sorry.
And I want to apologize to the audience.
Awesome.
You say innovative.
That's
you
right.
You say banana. And I say kumquat. That's your humor.
Yeah. You can say that, but you can call me the Zack Snyder of humor.
Sorry.
James, what did you learn?
I am continuing to learn how divisive Zack Snyder is, and I just, watching his movies before, you know, listening to this show and then, you know, now being on it, I never realized just from watching the movies that anyone would, you know, that there'd be any level of controversy about him. And I'm sure, Justin, you could go on for hours on why you think he's so divisive, but, you know, real quick, why do you think, in general, Zack Snyder is so divisive?
He's an objectivist.
He's not an objectivist. Let's clarify. I'm being
facetious. It's because of the ideas he has in his movies. He first of all, he does whatever he wants to do, which pisses people off. But also the ideas he has in his movies, just, they threaten people, is what it is, without them realizing they're threatened. So they lash out. Like this guy saying he's destroying Superman, it's what, you know, we talked about in the opening. He's not trying to just destroy Superman, but because this guy's seeing a Superman that's different from him, he feels threatened by it.
Justin, what did you learn this week?
I learned that the U.S. Women's National Team goalkeeper, Hope Solo, is the long-lost sister of Kylo Ren.
Oh, Ben and Hope. Hope and Ben.
Bend World over
Cup
for Hope.
So, God.
And audience, if you learned something this week, which I'm pretty sure you did, because it is a week in which you were listening to The Midside, then you should tell us about it via iTunes. Go over to iTunes, search for Welcome To, and then skip past the shitty Midvale, Nightvale show. Not Midvale.
And don't go to Midside. The Beehive either.
No, Welcome To Nightvale. They're fucking pretentious dicks. We're going to skip by that. We're going to go right to Welcome To The Midside. Going to click on that. Going to click review. 5 stars. Put an eggplant in the headline. Tell me how much you love us. And we'll love you forever, because that helps us. That actually really helps us. I don't know if you get it, but it does. It helps us because it helps us move up the search engine rankings in iTunes, which is really good. And then if you are feeling particularly generous, like some of our listeners have been over these past months, you can go to patreon.com/themidside, and you can choose to give us some small amount or epically large amount of money. You know, not going to judge, but it could be a progressive tax here. Per piece of content that we produce. So not just monthly, if we sit back, relax, sipping Mai Tais, virgin or not, on the beach. No, no. When we produce content, then you're automatically debited some small amount of money. And that helps us, as Justin said earlier in the show, with hosting, with marketing, with hookers, blow, et cetera, et cetera.
And all those lights we need to keep on while we're snorting the hookers and blow.
Yes, I especially like snorting hookers. They get me particularly high. Yeah, right into the blender. Hooker daiquiri.
That's where the protein comes from in my protein
shakes. That daiquiri.
That's
not
what
virgin.
I meant by snorting, but all right.
Sorry, no one got my awesome joke, except my fiancé who's laughing hysterically in the background.
I don't know if that's my awesome Bose headphones, but I can hear that.
Okay, good. Very good. And so, yeah, so thanks. And then, of course, the absolute best thing you can do for us, even more so than money, even though we love money. God, we love money. What you could do is tell a friend about the show. Some guy at work who secretly likes Zack Snyder, like, whispers, like, I saw Batman versus Superman again. It was great. Why don't you tell him about the show, or her, or it, and, or Caitlin, whatever they identify as.
Or Zur, or Zim, or whatever.
Exactly.
Zod.
And so that way we can grow the audience by leaps and bounds. I mean, liberty.me. Thanks to them for syndicating us. We've reached so many epic libertarians who are so quiet. Why don't you reach out to us more, libertarians? We like you. But tell a friend, tell an enemy, tell your dog, tell someone who will listen. Thanks.
I'm Justin M. Lesneski, and I hope you learned something this week. This concludes your journey into the midside. Good luck out there, and remember, if things get tough, take a step back and witness the farce.
Yay!
Should I change the opening here? Because now it's this opening is a reference to Negan.
I don't even know what your new opening is.
Okay, so you want me to do the old one?
The bathroom edition?
Well, I could do that, yeah, and just do the opening for it.
Do whatever your pretty little heart desires.
I'll do the bathroom opening for you guys.
Yay.